I have a message about having faith in God. I've really tarried before the Lord. I wanted to be in the order of God. So I'd like you to give me unconquerable love this morning. Pray for me. I really believe that God's given me this message, and I want to share it with you. I'd like to start reading in Ephesians 6 and 16. The shield of faith is something that is above everything it says here. Above all, taking the shield of faith. That you what? Wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. We need faith this morning, and we need faith in our lives, and God wants to give us all the faith that we want and need. But we need to seek God for more faith, saints. We need to ask the Lord to inspire our faith and help us to have faith when things are dark. Help us to have faith in you, God, when things are not going well. That is real faith. You know, people can shout, people can praise God at the camp meeting, but you know, in our everyday lives, when we have trials and troubles and problems we have to deal with, and we can be saints there, those situations, that's faith. That's having faith in God. When reverses come, like we heard this morning, and things happen, and children are taken, and things like this, problems, grief, things we have to deal with, when we can have faith above those things, that is what God wants us to have. You know, I testified the other day about when I got saved, and you know, that should increase our faith every day. Your salvation, what God done for you, how he saved your soul from sin. Grandma, Jerry's grandmother, she was like my real grandmother, and she was a saint of God, and that was why we had that connection. My real grandmothers were not with the saints, but Sister Eva Wilkins was a real saint. And she was like my pastor. But we didn't have a pastor in Michigan. She was like my pastor. And Sister Wilkins, she told me, she used to go around and sing, "It took a miracle." You know, it took a miracle to hang the stars in place. It took a miracle to do these things. But when he saved my soul, cleansed and made me whole, it was a miracle of love and grace. You know, that is faith. We had to have faith when we got saved. When we came to the altar of prayer or wherever we were, I got saved in a house, at grandmother's house, Grandma Wilkins' house. I got saved kneeling there, but the Lord thoroughly saved me. He just thoroughly saved me. And he's kept me for almost 38 years. It was something that lasted. It was something that was real. It's something that inspired my faith. He's healed my body many, many times. I've been at death's door. I've been in car accidents. Sister Roberta and Brother, I can tell you a little bit about that in Oklahoma City. And God saved my life. He delivered me. Before I got up here, I was trembling, asked the Lord, and the Lord said, "Stand up for Jesus. Tell him what he's done for you. Inspire the saints' faith." My ministry is a lot of encouragement. I want to encourage you this morning to have faith in God. And I don't have to write it on the board because you can just see it up there. Have faith in God. Amen. Whenever the enemy comes in like a flood, you say this to yourself, "I'm going to have faith in God. I'm going to believe God. I'm going to believe he'll take care of everything in my life. He loves me. I believe he's going to heal me or I'll die. Whatever happens, I'm a winner because I belong to God." That's the consecration God wants you to have. You must have faith in God. God wants to encourage you this morning to have faith in him. Oh, I tell you, when I look back and behold how his wide arms of mercy held me, how he delivered me. I don't want to go into details of the car accident altogether, but that's not the message. But I was hit in the temple, and I had 40 stitches in my temple. You know how you can get killed so easily, getting hit in the temple that severely? And I was put in the emergency room. I didn't want to go there. Of course, I was there. But, you know, when the doctor was sewing my head up, he said, "You almost died tonight. You just almost left us." He said, just a little bit, it would have went into your skull. He said, that's how close I came to dying. And you wonder why I praise God so much. Because, you know, I wouldn't be here to even preach. I wouldn't be alive. But God saved my life that night. He saved my soul. Like we heard the brother from Germany, he saved him again. And he's done that for me over and over. Have faith in God. Over here in Romans, it says here, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Saints, we're going to have to hear, and we got to tell it, or people are not going to hear it. We're going to have to tell some of our testimonies and share what God has done for us. And not be afraid to not share these things. God wants you to stand up for him and tell what God's done for you. In Romans 10 and 17, it says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We are instructed, we need to read the word. We need to study the word. It will encourage our faith. We need to get a hold of every book we can get a hold of, inspire our faith. You said the church needs more faith, that we need to study. Get some of the books from the print shop. Get Brother Susak's book. Study that book. I tell you what, I've read that book sometimes, and well, that's an old book. Well, it's still got good things in it. The Bible's an old book too. And it's and you get good out of the Bible. Whatever you can get a hold of, you know, this is the way I look at it. Whatever I can get a hold of to help my soul, don't matter if it's new or old or whatever it is, you know, if it'll help my soul. And you know, Brother Susak, one time, if you read, I'll just tell this one instant, his little wife, you know, she was gonna, she was upstairs. She told him to go to town. He went out to get the car going, and the car wouldn't get going, and he was having troubles, and he went back in. She said, I told you to please go get me some things from town. But the Lord was delaying him because the Lord took his wife that day. And she didn't even seem like she was sick, and she said she wanted to go up there and lay down, and she said, bring her Bible to her. And he took the Bible to her, and she just said she's a little bit tired, and she just died. And he said, oh, he says, are you leaving me? Or did you leave me? You know, things can happen so fast. We have to be prepared. But saints, we got to have our faith in the hard places in life. Job said, blessed is the Lord. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's the way we have to have faith settled, because the hard times are going to come just as sure as I'm standing here behind the pulpit. The hard times will come, but that should not shake your faith. That should not. It may shake you. It may give you heart grief. Your heart will break in two, maybe, so to speak. I had a dream. I was in West Virginia. My mother had a lung operation. I had to be down there a couple weeks. And the night before I came home, I won't tell all about the dream, but I was saying in the dream, this is so hard. I can't take it, God. I can't take it. And when I said that, I seen Psalms 23. I seen P.S. I didn't see the whole Psalm. But you know when you're on the computer and you start P.S., it goes A.L.M. you know. And I have E-Sword on my computer. And so it was like that I had went in Psalms 23. And I saw Psalms 23, and I was saying, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. And I woke up. And I started crying. And see, I was saying it was too hard. And the Lord said, the Lord is my shepherd. So the Lord is your shepherd. No matter what you face, you can have faith. You can make it. I don't know what I'm going to face the rest of my life, but I know the Lord is my shepherd. I know he loves me. I know he will not give me more than I'm able to bear. Praise God. 2 Timothy 4 and 17. You know, Paul, he said he kept the faith. I like Sister Maxine's song, which she sings with Brother Warren, about keeping the faith. I might call on them to sing that. I don't know, but if they feel inspired to. But anyway, over here in Romans, it says here, 2 Timothy, praise God. Paul said, I have fought the fight. I've kept the faith. You know, saints, when we get saved, we're going to have to keep on. We're going to have to keep pressing on no matter what happens. 2 Timothy 4 and 17. You know, I can just love the Lord today. I love him. I love him more today than I ever have. I have learned the wondrous secret of abiding in the Lord. I love him. I love him. I love his church. I love God. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. What's keeping the faith? What is it? You know, we think, divine healing is part of the faith. That is not all the faith. I've seen people that would not go to a doctor and they were not saved. They were professors, hypocrites among the saints. They would not go to the doctor. They wouldn't take a pill. It was awful to them. But they had an awful spirit, bad spirit. That's not what. God wants you to keep the faith, all of it. Amen. Divine healing's part of it. But he wants you to have the faith so when you go up to get prayed for, you can have faith to be healed. You know what? It takes faith. It takes faith to get up here, I'm telling you. It takes faith. Because I want to obey the Lord. You know, I want to give what the Lord gave me. But it takes some faith. It takes faith to have a calling from God. If God has called you to something, right now there may be someone that's debating on something. Maybe God has called you to the ministry. Maybe you don't want to do it. You know what? It's going to take faith to consecrate to that. And be willing to stand up for God. Be willing to do. You know, I was thinking, Lord, you know, I know there's a lot of ministers here. And Lord, I thought, well, what if everybody just sat? Or what if everybody didn't sing? What kind of services would we have? It's going to have to take somebody to be consecrated to the Lord. I remember one sister told me one time, she said she felt her calling to the ministry and she just didn't feel like she could do it. And she was walking along and the sister told her, you have to be consecrated to make some blunders for the Lord. You know? And you got to have faith in God. You've got to believe he'll help you, that he'll stand by you. You have to trust in God. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. If he fought a good fight, and you know what things happened to Paul, think about the shipwreck he was in. What did he say? And I might not turn to all these scriptures because there's so many scriptures, I'll never cover all the, I can't in this short of time, all the scriptures about faith in the Bible. But Paul said, I believe God. There was an angel that stood by me, this knight in whom I serve. And he told me, I will go to that king. He said, all that's in the ship is going to be saved with you, Paul. And it looked dark. It was dark tempest. It was the ship broke in so many pieces. But he told them they had for 14 days, I don't know, several days they hadn't ate no food. And he gave them some meat. He said, this is for your strength. And he said, stay in the ship. If you abide in the ship, you cannot be saved unless you abide in the ship. There were some rules. You know, saints, we're going to have to abide. We've heard about being at home. We're going to have to stay with the church. We're going to have to fight the good fight of faith. We're going to have to get over our hurts. We're going to have to muster up. We're going to have to be soldiers for the Lord. We're going to have to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We're going to have to not give in to self-pity. That's right. We're going to have to be strong in the Lord. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me. I want to go over to the faith chapter, Hebrews 11. Anytime that you need some faith, anytime you need to be inspired by God, go read Hebrews. Hebrews 11. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And then it goes on, and this one verse here really makes me think. And the sixth verse, this is, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. That he is who? He is God, saints. He is God. He created you. Amen. He made you. He gave you your eyes. He gave you your hands. He gave you your body. He gave you your feet to walk. He gave you your voice. Oh, I tell you, my sister, she's a nurse, but she tells me different things about the body. But you know what? God created. Yes. He created those things. Right. He created everything about you. He made you. That's why we need to love our brother and sister, because God said, if you cannot love your brother and sister that you have seen, how are you going to love God that you haven't seen? Because we live and we move in the 17th chapter of I believe it's Acts. We live and move and we have our being because of God. So when we look at one another, we're part of God. And we're just, you know, God is, I was crying in this meeting because some people that have died and they're not here anymore. I miss them. And, you know, we're part of each other and we love one another and we appreciate one another. And every one of us is going to help each other get to heaven. That's what God wants us to do. He wants to help one another. He wants us to help one another. But Hebrews says in the 6th verse, without faith, it is impossible to please him. If you're going to say, well, I just don't have faith. I just can't trust the Lord. I know, I just, you know, sometimes, you know, the devil wants to put mountains before you. He wants to tell you things that might not never happen to you. He wants to scare you. The devil is a liar and the father of it. So if he tells you something really, really bad is going to happen to you, if the devil told you that, it's a lie. Yeah. Not going to happen. You're going to say, you know what? Our words, we need to watch how we talk. Watch, you know, it was mentioned in this meeting, every idle word. You know, the enemy tries to come and paint pictures to me that, oh, well, you know, the future and what's going to happen to you and bad things. Try to bring, I start saying, God is going to bless my life. God is going to encourage me. God is encouraging me right now. God is going to give me strength. I'm going to make it. I'm going to be a pilgrim. I'm going to heaven. How can you say you're going to heaven? You haven't made it to heaven yet. Devil says, well, because by faith, I believe by the grace of God, I'm going to heaven. I claim it. I'm going to see Jesus because I'm not leaving him. And he promised he would not leave me if I don't want to leave him. So we got to have faith. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is the great I am. And that he is the great I am that is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You know what the trouble is sometimes? We don't diligently seek him. How many of you have been praying a lot here? The camp meeting. Too much going on here, going to service. Got to sleep, got to eat. Got a little time for prayer. But you know what? We may have to spend some time in prayer and give up our sleep. Now, I don't know if I should say this. I don't want to be boastful or nothing, but I'm going to say it. Pray for me. But last night, I just had to have some time for prayer, so I stayed up till 3 in the morning praying in the cabin. And I got up for early morning prayer, and I slept about 3 hours. But I feel vibrant. I don't feel like I've lost any sleep. I don't even feel like. I told the Lord, I said, Lord, sanctify that 3 hours. You can make it like it's 6 hours. If he can give Elisha a double portion of Elijah's spirit, he can sure double sleep. Glory to God. And I tell you what, when I'm at home, I try to watch my health. I try to watch my hours. They say people are losing sleep. You need to get at least 7 hours to 9 hours of sleep. And I watch my clock at home, and I time my time. And I want to try to make sure I get at least 7. I'm really, really careful about that. But here, I fear the Lord will take care of me. And I want to pray. I want to seek the Lord. I got to have God. I've got to have him. I'm needy. I need God. Saints, we got to seek the Lord. It says here, we've got to, he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Look up some of these words in the dictionary. Diligently. That's not just being half-hearted. It's not whispering a prayer. It's all right to whisper a prayer. But if that's all you do day after day is just whisper, you better do more than that. Seek the Lord diligently. You know, one time, Sister Lewis came to me before our meeting, she says, let's have an all-night prayer meeting, Sister Marshall. We have an all-night prayer meeting. Well, I'll just have to tell you the truth. I had never had an all-night prayer meeting. It's a kind of a shame, I guess, for my age, but I'd never been invited to an all-night prayer meeting. So anyway, we produced one, and we had one. And it was very exciting for me because I'd never done that. So we prayed and we sang, and we prayed and we sang. We prayed and we sang all night long, on Wednesday night before our camp meeting. And you know what? We prayed and we prayed.
And we prayed for Brother Stanley. We prayed for Brother Rod. We prayed for those. But we said, Lord, thy will be done. And we prayed for grace. And we prayed for the camp meeting. We prayed for ministers. We get more ministers to come to the meeting and be inspired. And you know, since it was a hard thing to go through losing our pastor. But God, and a hard thing to have a funeral right in the middle of a meeting. Some people said, we should have stopped the meeting, closed the meeting down. We said, no, we need to go forward. Do you know, God, if you were in that meeting, God blessed that meeting. We had the funeral. We went through it. It was God anointed the funeral and blessed the funeral, but we went right back into services, and God sent blessings. He sent the power down. He glorified us. He helped us out. And you know, the Lord spoke to me. He said, you need to go see Brother Stanley before the meeting starts. I was planning on going that very day. I thought, well, meeting will start till Friday night. He died at 11:30 that day. I was at Mardell's Christian Bookstore trying to find something for children's meeting, and they called me. I had plans to go when I got done there, but I was too late. Oh, we need to listen to God. God knew he was going to take him. He said, go see him before the meeting starts. Go see him again. You know what? God has control of everything. He knows what's going on. And I'm going to tell this because it was told at the funeral, but no. God gave Brother Stanley a dream, and he came to him, and he said, you're going to die. This is like in January, I think, somewhere in there. And two times he had this dream, you are going to die. And you know, this was told at the funeral, so it's nothing secret. But you know what? I'm telling you, I believe God allowed that to happen so he would talk to the saints. He had a minister's meeting with us and trustees, and he talked to us, and he prepared us. He prepared us, and God set things in order. And you know, God gave him that dream. Saints, this should encourage our faith. God has control. He's taking care of us. I believe that God somehow will let me know when it's my time to die. I believe that God will, I believe the Lord will prepare me. I believe God loves us. I have that much faith that he loves us, and he'll take care of us. And we don't have to be afraid to die, saints. We don't have to be afraid. God, all it is a cross over to heaven. That's all it is. So without faith, it is impossible to please him. And then it goes on, it talks about Noah. Didn't Noah have faith? He built the ark. They were making fun of him. He just kept building it anyways. Because God told him to do it. And people, they can make fun of the saints in their long skirts or whatever. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter because we're building a house for God. Doesn't matter what people think, because we know we have faith in God. We know. You know, I was at the store the other day, and this lady was talking to me, and I said, I'm going to a camp meeting. You know, I'm starting to be a little more vocal with people because, you know, I just feel like we just need to testify. And I said, I'm going to one of those old-fashioned ones. She said, really? I said, yes, you know, like an arbor meeting, like an old-fashioned one. And she says, 3 services a day, I told her. And she says, oh, she says, now, this is a strange lady to me. I didn't know her. She says, you're going to get close to God there. I said, oh, yes, I want to get close. She says, oh, she said, that's wonderful. She goes, you're going to get close to God. You know what? People are wanting to hear about God. No, don't have faith to talk about God. You know, don't be ashamed. Don't talk to people about God. Oh, may the Lord help us. I want to talk a little about Abraham. Abraham was our, we might go to that back a little bit, but I want to talk just a little bit and Genesis here. You know, 18 and 12, something happened to Sarah and this promised child. This was something that was impossible to man. But you know, in Genesis and 18, why did God do it that way? You know, we wonder sometimes, why does God allow things to happen certain ways? He wants all the glory. Amen. This is why we teach, you know, don't go to the doctors and take the medicine and all this, because God's not going to get the glory. God's not going to get the glory. You know, we want to inspire your faith. It's not that we're harsh about it or anything, but it's a better way to trust the Lord. It's a better way. I have seen, I was in one of the biggest hospitals, UVA Hospital. You ever heard of that in Virginia? That's where my mother went. Doctors everywhere. Nurses everywhere.
You know, and I was observing all that, and I thought, you know, it doesn't shake my faith. It doesn't shake my faith. Amen. Praise God! Amen. Glory! I don't want it. I don't want it. I don't want that, what was that, that medicine they gave my mom. It's really strong drug. Cotton. Pardon? Oxycontin. Yes. They give strong drugs to them. And I'm telling you, I don't want to do that. I don't want those drugs going in my body. My body is given to God. It says there in the 12th chapter of, what is it, 12th chapter? It says we are, our body is a living sacrifice. A holy, acceptable, given to God, a living sacrifice. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You know, people are dying right now taking prescription drugs. And I'm not going to go into all that. I don't have the time. But, you know, there's thousands of people that are dying taking prescription drugs. This is not good for your body. You need to, no, it's not. You need to trust the Lord. Have faith in the Lord. We want to go back to the scripture here in Abraham, about Abraham. You know, In the 18th chapter of Genesis, you know, Abraham was 99 years old, actually 100 years old when this child was born. 100 years old. And the Lord told him he's going to have this child a long time ago. He had to wait a long time. But you know what? He believed God. He had faith in God. And you know, there was Sarah. She was old too. She's about 90 years old. And she started laughing when she heard about it. And it says, Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age and loving first and ceased to be with Sarah. And it said, therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord? And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? I want to ask us a question this morning. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Anything. The other day I was in line and I was waiting on my husband. He was talking to a man. And so I got in line for us and I didn't know when to talk to. So I started talking to the Lord and I started singing a little song, making up a song. And this was a song and I'm not going to sing it, but I was making up the song. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything thing that he cannot do? And I was going through the Bible. I'd go through, you know, just different things. The woman at the well, the lepers that came to God, all these things in the Bible, all these miracles that God did. You know, and was there anything too hard? The woman that needed deliverance from devils, and God delivered her. And just, you know, I just started singing little verses like that. Is there anything too hard for God? Is there anything he cannot do? No. Now, is there things that we can't do? Yes, we're limited. But this is why we need to diligently seek God when we're in troubles. Because he can change things. He can move things. He can answer our prayers. He can heal us when all the doctors might say, you cannot, I can't do nothing else for you. They say that sometimes. Right. Go to God because I can't do nothing for you. And when they come, and then some people go to God and God helps them. But you know what? God can do anything. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. And he said, nay, but thou didst laugh. Did laugh. You did laugh because you thought that this was impossible. But nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. Praise God. You know, he can do anything he wants to do. He can just do anything. It's all up to the Lord. In Luke 1 and 37, it says that nothing is impossible with God. God can do anything. Well, say, well, I know one person in my family years ago. She wasn't really with the saints, but I won't say who. I don't want to hurt nobody or nothing. But she said she didn't. Really, you know, she knew that she was supposed to trust the Lord, but she really didn't have a lot of faith. And she had trouble, and she says, I'm going to give the Lord 2 weeks. If the Lord don't heal me in 2 weeks, then I'm going to go to the doctor.
Well, you can't do that. You can't give God time limits. You know, we can't boss God around. God help us. We reverence God. I tell the Lord sometimes, Lord, I reverence you. I love you. I adore you. I don't understand everything, but I still reverence you. I respect you, God. I know that you understand all things, and I trust you with that. You know, Sarah laughed about it because it looks so impossible. But you know what? Luke 1:37, it says, there is nothing shall be impossible. Nothing shall be impossible. It says, help me, I'm not getting there. Luke 1:37, nothing, absolutely nothing is impossible with God. God can do anything. Praise God. I know He can. I know that the Lord, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Have faith in God. I'm going to tell a testimony. When I was a little girl, somehow I don't understand, and this is why I love God so much, because I don't understand why He had His hand on me like He did. But when I was a child and I wasn't raised with the saints, I would pray to God and ask Him to forgive me if I did wrong, and I would ask the Lord to help me, and even when I was just a child. And when I got to be around 12 years old, somewhere in there, I somehow got these ugly warts, and some people have heard this testimony, especially in children's meeting, but on my hands. This was a miracle that happened to me. Overnight, they disappeared. I had 5, and they weren't just small ones. They were like those seed ugly warts. I had 5 on one hand and 7 on the other, 12. And when I went to school, the children were making fun of my hands and laughing at me and being mean to me. And I was getting where I didn't even want to go to school anymore. And so I went to God, and I knelt down and prayed. And this is how I prayed. I said, God, and my parents wanted to take me to the doctor. Now, this thing, they're very much like that. And they said, honey, we're going to take you and we're going to have them burned off. That scared me. And I didn't tell them, but you know, a child listens and it gets scared. And I got scared and I said, I don't want to do that, Lord. I don't want to go that route. I don't want the doctor burning them off. How's he going to do that? He'll probably have, I never did like getting shots. They take me to the doctor and sit down there, Marcia, and get you a shot. And I said, oh, and they said, years ago they gave you taffy and stuff, you know. And I didn't care. I didn't want it. I didn't want the taffy. I didn't want the shot. And they'd just sit me down and they'd say, and I'd start crying. I said, I don't want to do this. I don't want a shot. And my mom said, I'm going to spank you if you don't sit still and get your shot. Oh, I hated shots. I hated needles. And there it comes. And I just, oh, there it, give me my shot. But you know what? And then here you can have your taffy. Well, you know, that wasn't a great reward. I didn't want that. But you know, that's why I would, when they told me they were going to take me again to burn these off, I was scared, see? I was scared of the doctor. And so I went to God and I said, God, I don't want to go there and get these burned off. I don't want to go to the doctor. I said, I know you have the power to cause these to disappear. You know how the children are laughing at me and making fun of me and how my parents want to take me to the doctor. I said, God, you could heal me tonight. You could cause these to disappear off my hands. This, I'm telling you the truth, you believe me. No, I wouldn't lie. I said, I went to sleep that night, and I woke up in the morning, and I went to the bathroom to wash my face, and my hands were clear. There was nothing, 12 huge seed warts. Praise God! Glory! Oh, I was so happy. And I went back, and I ripped back my sheets, and I'm like, where are they at? So I look and I thought they'd fell on the floor somewhere. And I was looking around and the Lord spoke to me. He said, you prayed I would just cause them to disappear. They're not there. They're disappeared. Praise the Lord. They were nowhere to be found. God created us. He can disappear things. No, He can cause your insides. If you got some problem, He can cause it to get fixed. I've heard saints say they felt things go together. And, oh, I tell you what, Worst thing I ever had was, one of the worst things was broken ribs in that car wreck. I hear those bones just crunching and, ugh, it's awful. But you know, the Lord took care of me. He healed my bones again. Oh, glory. Oh, I tell you what, we're fearfully and wonderfully made. And God can take care of us. He loves us. Oh, praise God. Oh, it says, do you have a mountain in your life? I was thinking, you know, sometimes it's divine healing, but sometimes we have mountains in our life, problems that we can't understand. But you know what? In Matthew 17, it says that God can remove any kind of mountain. He can take care of anything. He is a great God. I've had some mountains in my life. I've had some situations I didn't know what to do. I remember one time I had a terrible high blood pressure, I believe it was. I never went to the doctor, but it was before one of my children were born. And I walked the floor for 36 hours off and on, except laying sometimes with a hot water bottle on my head, an ice cold rag on my head. My head hurt so bad, and I wanted to trust in God. I didn't want to go to the doctor, and the Lord healed me. I'll tell you how He did it. I was very young in faith, and Grandma again was trying to instruct me. I did not, at that time, I hadn't been around the saints too much. And so she said, honey, we were singing Evening Light songbooks in the living room. And she said, I want you to stand up and praise God for your healing. And I said, but my head's hurting terrible. And she said, well, I want you to stand up and praise God for your healing. And I said, okay, Grandma, whatever you say, I'll try to do it. So I did. I said, Lord, I praise you for my healing. I praise you, God, for divinely healing me right now. And all of a sudden, I felt like the presence of God came down over my body. It was like angels filled the room. And I was going, praise God, oh, glory. And of course, Grandma said, did it go? Is it gone? I said, yes, it's gone. This is how sometimes we receive healing, by praising Him, by resisting the devil. Oh, I tell you, one time I had, I believe it was kidney stones. I never went to the doctor, but for a month I suffered severe pain. And I was walking the floors in the basement. We had a finished basement there in Michigan. I'd walk back and forth, and I'd sing, I'd play Christian music from the saints, Evening Light songs. I had this album from the saints, and I'd play it over and over and over, and I'd walk and pray and walk and pray. And one night I was doing that so Jerry could sleep upstairs. And I tell you, I just had came to almost the end of my, it just hurt so bad. I said, Lord, I don't know, what have I done? Why haven't you healed me, Lord? What's the matter with me? Have I done something, Lord? I said, Lord, I don't know of anything. What, Lord, would you please help me to know that you're with me? If you want me to suffer, let me know you're with me. And all of a sudden, the Lord came down and did the same thing. The presence came so strong over me, but the pain still was there. That was strange. God could have took the pain away, but it was still there. But it wasn't long after that the Lord completely, divinely healed me. He let me know He was with me in that suffering. Saying sometimes we may suffer for a while, but afterwards He will what? Make you blameless, perfect you, strengthen you, perfect you. You know, He allows things to happen to us that we don't understand, but God will help us. I had a terrible sciatic nerve not a few years back, maybe 5 years ago or something. It was just terrible. And one day I needed to go outside and do some work, and I needed to climb a ladder, and I needed to do this work, and I wanted to call one of the girls to come do it for me because I was hurting. And I thought, Lord, they're so busy. They have their own families. They got their children. I don't want to bother them, Lord. And I was just praying. I said, God, if you would just take this pain away. And I was hurting so bad. I couldn't climb a ladder. I couldn't do that work. I said, God, if you take it away for a space of time, if you want me to suffer this for a while, take it away so I can go and climb this ladder and do this work, Lord. And you know what the Lord did? He took every bit of the pain away. I went out. I did all my work. I climbed the ladder. And I said, oh, glory. No pain, no nothing. Did all my work. And I got done. I came back. And then a while later, it came back again. But anyway, the Lord finally, it went away and it never came back again. These things strengthen our faith. If we go running to the doctor every time we have a little ache or pain, we're not going to get more faith in this area. The hardest times of my life is when the 11th hour, when God has been the greatest Ebenezer's stones that I have looked back and seen how God mightily delivered me and helped me. Oh, it's just been wonderful how God has healed us over and over. And we don't want to fail the Lord by doubting him when he's done so much for us, dear saints. He's done so much. We don't want to doubt the Lord. We want to have faith in the Lord, and we want to trust in him. You know, I want to talk a little bit about Elijah. You know, I want to talk about how there's faith in action. You know, God wants to give us faith in action. Action faith. What does that mean? Action faith. He wants us to have action. He wants us to stand upon the promises. He wants us to praise him anyway. You know, that says praise him anyhow. That's what God wants us to do. Over here, we want to read just a little bit about in 1 Kings 17. We won't read the whole story because of the time, but you know how that this woman, she had this son, and she just had a little bit of a meal. And she said to Elijah, she says, as she said in the 11th verse, and she was going to fetch it, he called her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Looks pretty sad, doesn't it? There's just a little bit left. Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first. Now, wait a minute. I only got enough for me and my son, and you tell me to make you one first. That means one of us is going to be left out. Either me or my son. If she could just reason all these things, you know, we can just reason our way out of faith.
That's right.
We can just start thinking, you know, this is the way we are. We're intelligent beings. God gave us a brain, but we use it. We don't want to use it in the wrong way. We don't want to reason so much and try to figure out how God's going to do it and when's he going to do it. And why is he doing it this way? And why is he working this way? And I can't figure God out. You know what? God don't want you to figure everything out. When I was a little girl, I told my mom one time, I said, Mom, I want to know something. She said, what? I said, where did God come from? She said, you know what, Marcia? You need to stop thinking like that. She said, that's not for you to know. She said, just believe that there is a God and don't ask that no more. Because there are some things that you don't need to know, that God don't want you to know. You know, they say, well, I don't know when I'm going to die. I don't know how long I'm going to live. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I know we're planning on having 3 services. I know that. But we really don't know exactly what's going to happen, do we? But you know what? Why do you think God made us that way? It's because he wants us to trust in him. It's because he doesn't want us to know everything. It's because he wants us to have some faith. And he doesn't want us to be getting high-minded about ourselves. He don't want us to think we got any glory to glory. He said, if the Lord will, I will live and I will do this and that. People boast too much. People say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do this. And lots of times people say, well, I'm going to retire and I'm going to live up. And I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and they never reach retirement. How many times are they? They're too boastful. God don't want us to be boastful. He wants us to say, Lord willing. How many of us do that? Say, Lord willing, I will live and do this and that. I have got in trouble when I did not say Lord willing to somebody. They say, are you going to do such and such? And I say, yeah, I'll do that. And it come happened that day, and I could not do it. And then I seen the Lord said, well, you should have said Lord willing. Because you don't know what's going to happen. But anyway, she went and she did this, and thus saith the Lord, and she did this. The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth the rain upon the earth. She went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. The barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. That's faith in action. She made the cake. She believed God. You got to have some faith in action. I got to have faith in action. You know what? And then he said, well, what happened after that? After all this blessing, then her son dies. You wonder, why did that happen? But you know what? She went to the Lord. She went to him. And she says, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my son to remembrance and to slay my son? He said unto her, give me thy son. He took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. He cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son? He stretched himself upon the child 3 times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. Praise God. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Most of us, when people die, we just give up, don't we? Just give up. But you know, there has been testimonies, and Brother Samuels was one of them. He said that he saw someone being raised from the dead. And I'm not saying we should practice that all the time, but I'm just saying if the Lord inspires it, it can happen. Because there is nothing impossible with God. There is nothing impossible with the Lord. The Lord can do anything. And then it goes on. I wanted to read that because I wanted to read how Elijah wanted a double portion of this man's spirit of Elijah. And over here in 2 Kings 2, he said, you know, this is another thing. Perseverance brings faith. You know, this Elisha, he did not just get this double portion by sitting around on his knees. He was following him hard after him. He told him to go back 3 times. And it says here, Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord. Let's read the first verse. It came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elijah, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as thy Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And then he goes on and he goes and says it to him again. Elijah said unto him, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. Then he went on again. He told him to turn away again. But Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee here. And Elisha said again, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So finally he said, ask what do you want me to do for you? Because evidently you're not going to leave. You're going to follow. So what do you want? He said, it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, now doesn't he have faith? What a beggar. It would be enough just to get his spirit, the same portion, but I want a double portion. Oh, God wants to see faith like that. God wants to see people that will just ask for blessings untold. You don't have to live. I believe I was reading a book just recently. I think it's the Prayer of Jabez. Is it? Pardon? Jabez or something. Anyway, he asked for an enlargement of territory. He asked the Lord just to bless his life. You know, I think sometimes the enemy tries to encroach upon the saints and tries to get us accused and discouraged. And we don't want to do that. We want to pray. We want to speak blessings upon our lives. We want to have faith in God. That's what God wants. Just like him. He said, ask what I shall do. He said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. You've asked a hard thing. But nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it right soon after that came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Praise God. There's a record that he just went up in a whirlwind. Glory! One time when I was a little girl, I had lots of faith. I thought I did anyway. I always need more faith, and I shouldn't need more faith, but I had got a spanking from my daddy. He was a wonderful daddy, and that's why he spanked me when I was naughty. But I didn't take it that way sometimes. I'd cry, and I'd get upset with him. I'd go in my room and pout on him. And I went outside, and I thought, you know what? I just need to get away from this home. They don't love me. They want to spank me. And I said, God, I just like to leave earth. I like to go to heaven. And so I climbed up on top of a fence. Got away as high as I could go. I said, now, Lord, I come as far as I could go. You can take me the rest of the way. I sat there for a while. I was crying. I was pitying myself. I said, he whips me. He don't love me like he should. I want to go to heaven. I sat there for a while and said, well, I guess the Lord doesn't want to take me, so I climbed back down. But you know what? This man went in a whirlwind. Praise God. Do you have faith like that? He was in a whirlwind. He went right into whirlwind into heaven. And Elijah saw it. And he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. Now this part is what I really love. It says, he took up his mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, now this is what I really like. Here he's got everything now. Now he's going to see. Is this going to really happen? Where is the Lord God of Elijah? He hollered out. And when he also had spit in the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elijah went over. Where is the God of, name some saints, Brother Sammons, Brother Hargrave, Sister Marie Miles. Where is the God of those that are dead and gone? Is he still here? Is he at Mark? Are you still saved? Praise God. He is still our God. Where is your God? Where are you, God? Did he not send the rain? Did he not? You know, when I heard the thunder last night, I thought, Lord, you love us. You love us. You're sending the rain. You're saying, I love you. There's ways that God communicates to us his love. And that's one of them, to send us rain at Mars. But say, I love you. I love my people. Praise God. Well, Lord willing, I'm almost done. So I'm taking a little long. But, you know, I want to read just a little bit more in Genesis. This scripture has been such a blessing to me. I read it one time in the streams in the desert, this verse. And I looked up in the Bible and I studied that about Joseph. And this part just really blessed me. In Genesis 45 and 27, it said, you know the story that about Joseph and how his father was told that he was dead. After all these years, now his father is told, your son is yet alive. And it says here in the 26th verse, and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. It's so hard for him to believe when he'd already grieved, he'd already thought, my son's gone, I've closed it. But then they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons, glory to God. When he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. Saints, we need to be revived. We need a revival. Revival in our souls. What is it going to take for you to see some spiritual things to revive you? Think about all that God has done for you in the past. That will revive you. Do you see the spiritual wagons in your life?
Oh, when he saw the wagons, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived, and Israel said, "It is enough! It is enough! Joseph, my son, is yet alive, and I will go and see him before I die." He believed. Praise God, he had faith. And I won't turn to this, maybe I will, just at the end here. But you know, Thomas, he didn't believe till he saw Jesus. He said, "I'm not going to believe." He wasn't with the disciples. "I'm not going to believe until I can just put my hands in his side and actually see him." So Jesus made another visit. And over here in St. John 20 and 25th verse, it says here, Thomas, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said unto them, "Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." You know, there's something about that God wants us to have faith. He loves faith. There's something about, when you have a little child and you tell that child something, I really try to be careful, especially with my little grandchildren. If I tell them something, and I've told some little ones here, and don't you let me forget, we had a children's meeting in Guthrie, and I said, if you would sing a little song to me, I'd give you a gift. So I'm going to do that. But you know what? Jesus made a special appointment with him. He said, he came there, and he said, after 8 days, again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace be unto you." Then saith he to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." And Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. That is you and I today. We haven't seen Jesus in the flesh, but we believe. And we know he's real. We've seen him in the spirit, and that's enough for now. Oh, praise God. You pray for me. I want to have faith in the Lord.